Oh, my kiss breath, turpentine. dragon we could ride.
WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope, in New York City and in Rockland County. We're at 91.9 FM. All over the world, you can hear us online at WFMU.org. I've been Jim the Poet. Naomi's back next week. See you guys at 3 in the morning, Sunday.
Memphis Soul Stew. We sell so much of this, they're gonna make some Frisco hot stew. Give me about a half a teacup of base. That's our bass player from Macon, Georgia, Gerald Jamont. And now we need a pound of fat back drums. Bernard Purdy, ladies and gentlemen, on the drums. And 4 level tablespoons of ball and Memphis guitar now. Carnell Dupree from Fort Worth, Texas on the guitar.
Wow. Never gets old. Love that intro. Are you out there, Kowalski? Kowalski, are you out there? If you know the answer to that trivia question, you win a virtual t-shirt. My name is Alan Harding, or as some refer to me as Chef Alan. That was nice that he said that. It's always nice to get called Chef. Did you know that Chef in French means chief? Never knew that before, getting into the kitchen. The name of this show is called Is It Soup Yet? And it's a call-in show. I'm going to give the phone number in a few minutes because I don't want the phones to stack up over Newark, you know? I just spent the longest 2 hours of my life going through Staten Island, or as my son Luca calls it, Stranded Island. It's never easy. But I got here, and my wingman was here waiting for me, and everything's going to be just fine. Just dandy. The topic for today's show is, or are, vegetables. I love vegetables. One of my first fancy jobs in a kitchen was working in a French restaurant. And it's no longer with us anymore. But my job right out of culinary school was the assistant to the entremetier. Entremetier being a fancy word for the guy that makes all the vegetables. So I would have to be the gopher, and the favorite line in the kitchen when you were asked to do something, when you were just standing there waiting for the next great thing, the chef would say to you, on your way up from downstairs, can you bring me 6 carrots and 5 heads of garlic, and then peel the garlic. And I peeled a lot of garlic in that kitchen. Never bought peeled garlic, never bought peeled shallots. Everything was always peeled fresh because that's how it grows, and that's when it's at its freshest. And, you know, when I was in the car today, sweating profusely, I was thinking about the vegetable show and what I was going to talk about. And I was thinking to myself, man, wouldn't it be good right now to have like 1 or 2 fresh, ice cold cucumbers? Aren't cucumbers, I mean, they are so refreshing. I don't know what it is about a cucumber, but I love an ice cold cucumber, peeled, sliced, lightly salted, maybe with a little vinegar, you know, if you need to. But a really ice cold cucumber would hit the spot right now. They should have vending machines with vegetables in them, you know? So you could get, like, instead of like getting a can of Coke, you could get like a cucumber. Or an apple, or something else, you know. I don't know what. Well, they don't have vending machines anymore anyway. So, I'm going to begin with my take on the cucumber salad. It is approaching picnic season. 4th of July is coming up. Cucumber salad by Alan Harding. 6 cucumbers. I'm not down with those big, giant, really long ones, the gourmet cucumbers. They always seem to be really expensive when I want to buy them. I like the other ones that seem to come from New Jersey. And whenever I see a box of cucumbers, they seem to have come from Vineland. I don't know where Vineland is. I think it's probably down in South Jersey, maybe in the Pine Barrens, where it's flat. But they grow a lot of cucumbers in Vineland. So we're going to start with 6 cucumbers. We're going to peel the cucumbers. Now, if you want to have a little bit of peel on your cucumber, you can do the racing stripe thing, as some people do. I like to have my cucumber salad be totally without peel. So we peel the 6 cucumbers. Then we slice the cucumbers lengthwise. That would be the long way. Then the peeler that you just used to put either racing stripes or totally denude your cucumber of peel, you notice the opposite end of the blade has that like rounded part. It's like a metal part with a round where the blade goes through. It's held with a rivet. If you grab the blade of the peeler to expose this rounded edge, it is the perfect diameter to scoop the seeds out of a cucumber. Thank me later. So we have 6 cucumbers peeled and seeds removed. We're going to slice those thin or thick as you want. We're going to put them in a colander, you know, the big bowl with the holes in it that you strain spaghetti in. And then we're going to take some kosher salt. And I'm going to say for 6 cucumbers, it's about 3/4 of a cup of salt. And you're going to sprinkle that all over the cucumbers and then massage it into the cucumbers. And you're going to let that sit in the sink because it's going to start to, the salt is going to start to extract the water from the cucumber through a process I think is called osmosis. The salt breaks down the cell wall of the vegetable, and then it allows the water to leave, which is strange, but it works. So after about 15 minutes in the sink, you'll notice that the cucumbers are softer because they've lost their rigidity from having so much water in them. And at that point, you can turn the cold water tap on and rinse all that salt off the cucumbers. And if you don't know if you've rinsed them enough, just taste one. If they taste like the ocean, you know that you missed one or you didn't rinse it all the way off. You can also submerge all the cucumbers in a bowl of water and then dump them back into the colander. And then you're left with cucumbers that have the perfect cellular structure to receive a vinaigrette. And I'm not going to get into vinaigrettes. I could do a whole show on vinaigrettes. I could do an hour on vinaigrettes. But this vinaigrette, I'm going to say wishbone Italian dressing. Why not? If you're a little irritated by all of those little flecks in the wishbone, you can put the whole thing in a blender and blend it up. And once it's in the blender, why not add just a little bit of mustard, okay? So then you take about a cup of this vinaigrette that you've doctored, or if you're one of those people that make your own vinaigrette, knock yourself out. Dress the cucumbers lightly with the vinaigrette, put them in a bowl, cover them, put them in the fridge, let them chill, and enjoy your wonderfully seasoned ice-cold cucumber salad. You can do it in chunks. You could do it any way you want. You can also add red onion if you want. So that was the recipe that hopefully is going to cool us all down. And, it's the power of suggestion. You're eating ice-cold cucumbers. You're going to feel cold at the same time. The phone number today, as is always, is 201-209-9368. My name's Alan Harding. This is It Soup Yet? And my wingman and I decided to tease next week's show so you can look forward to something or choose to do something else if it's not something you want to watch or listen to. And next week's show is going to be meat. Meat. Today we're doing vegetables. Next week is going to be meat because next week, I don't know what day it is, or even if it is next week, is the 4th of July. It's coming up. And we agreed in our pre-game warm-up that the 4th of July is a meat holiday. So I'm going to have some meat recipes for us all. Maybe some things that you never thought of for enjoying for 4th of July. And we're going to pull off a wonderful meat show next week. So getting back to the vegetables and the picnic variety, cucumber salad being I don't consider it a standard picnic, but it's really nice to bring to a party because I don't think a lot of people make it. I haven't gone to a party and seen it in a long time. Most of the time you get macaroni salad or potato salad. I may have to talk about potato salad. I got some really, really strong feelings about potato salad. I'm gonna go out on a limb and guess most people know how to make potato salad. The big question, the big, big question for potato salad, hard-boiled eggs or not? I'm getting a no. I'm going to shake the head no. You know, I like hard-boiled eggs in potato salad, but I don't like hard-boiled eggs in 90-count Idaho potato salad where you boil the potatoes till they're soft or a little bit of resistance on the potato and then peel off their skins and then chop them up into chunks and then mix them with everything else. I only like hard-boiled eggs in potato salad made with red potatoes. I really like red potato salad. And I don't know if you've been to the supermarket lately, but man, they got so many kinds of potatoes. You can buy these bags of potatoes that have like all they look like Easter eggs. There's so many varieties and colors of potatoes out there, and my creative juices are flowing when I see vegetables, especially when I go to a farmer's market. But let's stick with my version of the red beet potato salad, which I think, if you're well versed in 1980s cookbooks, comes out of the Silver Palette Cookbook, which is one of those cookbooks that everyone seems to have. But I got to tell you, that's like, for me, that's like Live at the Fillmore East, or Exile on Main Street, or pick any other greatest hits album. Every recipe in that book is a hands down winner. And I can't say that for every book that I read, every cookbook that I read. Some of them are that I don't really gravitate toward. But the Silver Palette Cookbook, they had a red potato salad in it. And let's skip over the cooking of the potatoes. That's for the hobbyist. Everyone knows how to do that. Also, the boiling of the eggs, although I could probably do half a show on boiled eggs, because no matter how I boil them, how long I boil them, I'm always down to getting something sharp and pointy to pick off the little flecks of peels on them. Although I did do a little research the last time I made egg salad, and I was told that the eggs have to be old. I don't know if that's true or not, but, okay, we have a caller to interrupt my potato salad, which I'm thankful for. Hi, you're on the air. What do you have for us today?
I'm a fan of the red potato, too. Sometimes I whip up a single batch of potato salad by putting the potato in the microwave and cutting it up and then mixing it with different things. But I was really calling about cucumbers because I grew up, my family had a garden in the back, and we had fresh tomatoes and cucumbers and zucchini mostly for the whole summer. And the soil was very, very rich, and we thought it was because when my parents bought the house, there was a pigeon coop on the area where the garden was, and we don't know if that just kind of enriched the soil.
I'm sure it did.
My parents were a little bit unimaginative with the cucumbers, and they just kind of drenched them in bottled salad dressing.
How about pickles? Any pickles get made in the making of this film?
No,
that's a shame.
It's they weren't cooks like that, or they didn't kind of use their imaginations in the kitchen very much.
Well, the mantle has been passed on to you. I thank you for your call. That was very interesting. Thank you. Hi, we have another call. No other calls. The other cucumber recipe that we're going to talk about, since it's crickets out there, and I guess everyone is just maybe everyone's in the cooling center. But this cucumber salad takes place. It's not really cucumber salad. It's what they refer to in cookbooks as a quick pickle, meaning it's not a pickle that goes into a jar, like a mason jar, and then gets boiled for a long time. This is a quick pickle. Oh, we have two calls now. Okay, let's start with caller one. You're on the air.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Clear as whatever clear is.
I just wanted to say, I think the show is really intended to be about vegetables, but the potato salad thing is really, I wanted to jump in on that.
Well, potatoes are a vegetable, dude.
It's a vegetable, but there's other stuff going on. I've been doing seafood boils, and at the end, there's a lot of potatoes left over, and also corn, andouille, shrimp, or whatever else is in the boil. What I've been doing is taking those red potatoes and then, like, cutting the corn off and adding it in, chopping up the shrimp into a nice little, like, corn kernel or slightly bigger than that size. And then I, like, crisp up the bits of andouille into, like, crispy bits. And then I make a potato salad with all that seasoned, you know, seafood. It's a potato salad hybrid with a No Country boil.
Damn, that sounds good. And is it bound with a little mayonnaise?
I use mayonnaise and mustard, and then, you know, sometimes I get a little kitchen sink action going on. I like relish always.
Yeah, relish is a good thing in potato salad. How about Old Bay seasoning or Zatarain's?
If I have Zatarain's on hand or Slap Yo Mama, I don't know if you're familiar.
Do they make a crab boil?
Slap Yo Mama is like it's in a little, you know, you could sprinkle it on top of anything.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, it's like Cajun. Creole.
That's
which one is it?
That's a wonderful potato salad recipe.
Yeah.
And I like the fact that you're using what some people might throw out, or you know, you're transforming the leftovers into something delicious.
Yes, and then you just ice and put it in a cooler, and then you have something for the next time. Obviously, it's got to be consumed right away, like. If you ever do that, you're best off doing it on site. Last time that I tried to do it, it sat in the cooler for a little too long, and then, you know, I had to toss it all to the pigs.
Not good, not good. Hey, thanks for the call. We have anyone else? Hi, you're on the air. What do you have for me today?
Hey, good evening, Alan. Thanks for doing the show, and I just want to say off the before I forget, I'm looking forward to the vinaigrette show if you do decide to do it.
So wow, that's a deep dive into vinaigrette. Maybe it'll be a 2-part series.
It would be applicable to this time of year too, because it's a great time to talk about vegetables. Because
yeah.
I've been a gardener. I'm 50 years old now. I've probably been gardening since I was about 10 years old.
Isn't it a great hobby?
Yeah. It's a and like what I love about it is if you mess up it every year you can change it again, you know.
Yeah, I love growing cucumbers. You know why? Because there's no mystery as to whether it's ready. You don't have to. Every time I grow carrots, I'm pulling carrots out and I'm like they look like, you know, cornichons, and I'm like, when are the friggin' carrots ready? You never know, because it's under the ground. I'll never grow carrots. I'll never grow anything that grows in the ground. I want stuff that grows on top of the ground, you know, like tomatoes and zucchini, that kind of stuff.
I do. I like beets and turnips are about the only thing. I'm 100% with you on carrots. Onions aren't worth the work just for the price you can buy them.
Yeah.
Potatoes are interesting, and some of those weird potatoes, like as you're talking about them, I've given up. I don't plant potatoes anymore. They're a lot of work, but I did a Peruvian finger potato, a purple potato, years ago, and the biggest it gets is maybe like 2 or 3 ounces. And part of the problem is there's so many tiny little potatoes, too much to deal with, and you never get them out of the ground, and they come up every year.
Yeah, yeah, that's the other thing about potatoes. They you can never get them all.
Yeah. But what I'm thinking now about is just greens. Like this time of year, if I've ever talked to people and want to get into gardening, they're always kind of like, you know, they're thinking of the supermarket and they're not understanding like, oh, sure, tomatoes are easy, but, you know, you're going to be waiting till the end of July. Like you're not going to have them in June on 4th of July.
You know? No, you got to practice. You got to have a crop rotation. You got to have stuff that's ready sooner and then stuff that's ready later.
Yeah, I start plant. I even start my own seeds now, but I literally start planting. I had a couple years back where I had a cold frame, and I was picking salad before March 20th.
Wow.
I like to have, like, this time of year is, I call it salad season, because I cut and come again with my lettuce. Like, I do a romaine and a red leaf, and, like, then it's a lot of chard and kale. So that's kind of when I talk to people, I'm like, you know, you have to maybe adjust your diet a little bit. If you're not used to eating, like, leafy greens, you should probably get into them, because they're really easy to grow.
Oh, you know? Yeah. They are really easy to grow. I mean, I had this, we got this Italian wholesale supermarket in Brooklyn. It's in Bay Ridge, I think, or I forget what neighborhood it is. I think it's Bensonhurst. It's called Coluccio. And Coluccio, they sell, they don't sell any vegetables. It's like a hard salami and cheese and pasta and grocery store. But they usually have like this, a rack of seeds in the beginning, in the spring, of all of these vegetables that I've never even heard of. I mean, they look like some, you know, like chicory and things like that, but they all have different names. And I planted some, I planted some dandelion greens last year. And would you believe, like, a month ago, my whole garden was filled with dandelion greens that I thought that I had eaten all of the previous fall. They just came back.
That's great.
Yeah. Love dandelion greens.
I've got an arugula flowering in front of me, and that's part of why it's flowering, because it's going to be, you know, the gift that keeps on giving.
I love arugula.
So do you want specific recipes? We're just loving vegetables right now.
Well, that's why I'm here. Thank you for your call.
Okay.
So getting back to the quick pickle. This quick pickle is called, they're called bread and butter pickles. Don't ask me why. I don't know why they're called bread and butter pickles. That's what my grandmother used to call them. That's what my mom called them. They were bread and butter pickles. There was no bread or butter in the pickles, but that's what they were called, bread and butter pickles. And these were cucumbers that were thinly sliced. And I don't know how Grandma did it, but I do it on a mandolin. Oh, we have a caller. Yes.
Hi, Alan. How are you? Besides hot.
Top notch, buddy. How you been?
I'm good. Okay, well, I'm glad you started talking about ground cover, like dandelion greens, because I want to submit something. I love potato salad. I am the potato salad guy in our family. But I want to talk about something different. I want to talk about verdulagas, in other words, purslane.
Oh.
Do you have that there?
I've experienced purslane before in my limited exposure to it. I didn't think it was something that you could grow. I always thought it was something that was more like a ground cover that from crops the previous year, like the first thing that comes up is purslane. I don't know. I didn't know you could grow it.
That's precisely what it was. It would grow in orange groves here in California underneath the orange trees.
Wow.
But we had it in our backyard when I was a kid, and I had never heard it referred to as purslane. I learned that word when I was an adult. But now every farmer's market that's worth anything has it, and they have it in abundance. Right now it's the peak moment.
Right.
And it's a versatile, it's technically a succulent, and which kind of, do you consider that a vegetable?
I consider it a vegetable, and I consider our time here almost done. But I want to hear your, if you were being judged on Chopped, what would you do for your purslane if you were given purslane in the mystery basket?
Very quickly, sauteed in a hot pan with shiitake mushrooms and olive oil and garlic. That's
wow.
It. Boom, perfect.
Just like you're going to cook the mushrooms first. And then get the garlic to scent, and then throw the purslane in at the end.
Everybody knows the stages. The purslane goes in last when everything else is there. Now, when I was a kid, we had a big patch in the backyard, and my mother would send me out into the yard to get it, and she would mix it into a pot of fresh beans with only one demand from me. She said, "You never tell the other kids we eat weeds."
That's good. That's
good. And I've been eating weeds all my life.
Well, those are two great ways to use purslane, and I'm on the purslane bus.
Absolutely.
Thank you for that.
You bet. Bye.
Do we have another caller? You're on the air.
Hi. So you wanted a good quick pickle recipe?
Sure. Why not?
Sure. Okay. So what I like to do, having a garden with growing an abundance of cucumbers that, you know, are just going wild, you know, you got to get rid of them. So
yeah,
quick pickles are a good thing. So like dill seed, mustard seed, lots of minced garlic, the dried minced garlic, plenty of salt, plenty of vinegar, boil it, ice it down, throw the sliced cucumber spears in there, let it chill, and, you know, let them go for a couple of days. And, yeah, it's great.
So is that a dill pickle?
It would be a dill pickle, yeah, yeah.
But and there's no dill in it. Peppercorn. There's only dill seed.
Dill seed or dill weed, yeah. If you're growing fresh dill, which I like to do as well, yeah, fresh dill is preferable.
That sounds delicious. I love Kirby cucumbers with fresh dill.
Yeah, and lots of garlic. I love the garlic.
Yeah, garlic and pickles is like, that's
Polish style or, you know, something that really really hits that garlic high point. Yeah.
Well, that's a good pickle recipe. Thank you.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So, the bread and butter pickles prepared the same way as the cucumber salad. I don't de-seed the bread and butter pickles, and I put racing stripes on them. We talked about the racing stripes. Cut them on the mandolin, salt them, rinse them, reserve them in a separate pot that goes on the stove. We're going to put the appropriate amount of vinegar to cover your cucumbers. I'll let you decide that much. But for purposes of discussion, we're going to say it's 4 cups of white distilled vinegar. If you want to use apple cider vinegar, by all means, go ahead. But apple cider vinegar has a color. White distilled vinegar is just pretty much pure acetic acid, and it does the job. To the 4 cups of white distilled vinegar, I'm going to add 1 full cup of table sugar and 1/2 cup of commercially produced pickling spice, in addition to 1/2 cup of sliced whole garlic. If you want to take just like 2 heads of garlic and just cut them in half and throw them in this pot with the pickling spice and the vinegar, by all means, go ahead. Although you will have to pick the paper out afterwards. If you use whole garlic cloves that are chopped up, you can let the whole thing ride. To that 4 cups of vinegar, I'm going to take 2 or 3 racquetball-sized white onions, Bermuda, Spanish, Vidalia, what have you. If you want to use a red onion, go knock yourself out. And I'm going to slice the red onions after they've been peeled rather thick. I'm going to throw the onions into the pot, and I'm going to boil the whole thing. And I'm going to boil them until the onions are not translucent, but soft and cooked. All right? I'm not adding any salt to this yet. Right now we have sugar, vinegar, pickling spice, onion, and garlic. Then I'm going to boil that until it's reduced a little bit. I'm not going to say how much until the onions are cooked. I'm going to let that, I'm going to take that out of its pot. I'm going to put it in a plastic container, put it in the fridge, or let it sit at room temperature and then put it in the fridge, but it has to be cold. The onions and the brine have to be cold. And if you're not familiar with that term, brine is the liquid that you put on top of pickles. Usually refers to salt and vinegar and sugar. not to be confused with the brine that you use for meat, which you can also brine meat, which is another show. After the brine with the aforementioned ingredients is cold, then I take my cucumbers, which have been salted, rinsed, and thoroughly drained. I put them in a bowl, and I dump the entire contents of the vinegar, onion, pickling spice solution on top, mix it all together, and then pack it away in a refrigerator. Pack it away in a container, one container. I like to put a piece of saran wrap on the surface of the brine just to make sure that all of the cucumbers stay underneath and can drink up that wonderful liquid. But pretty much they're good to go like 10 minutes after they're done. They only get better with age. And that's your bread and butter pickle made with garden fresh cucumbers. If you have a garden, you'll probably have more than you know what to do with. Some people make soup out of cucumbers. I think that's wrong. I've never had a cucumber soup that I like. I imagine if I were forced to make it, if someone held a gun to my head and said, make cucumber soup, I would choose to make a cold soup. I think cucumber soup would be cold. And I think it would have to be strained a number of times to get out. Cucumbers have a lot of fiber in them and a lot of body. I just want the essence of the cucumber in the soup. And that would probably be mixed with lemon juice and fresh dill and a good amount of sour cream, thinned sour cream with the lemon juice. That sounds like a good cucumber soup. A little horseradish in there wouldn't be bad either. Or wasabi. Cucumbers and wasabi, forget about it. They're really good. So, we talked about cucumbers. I think we're done with cucumbers for now, unless someone that is calling in has a really good cucumber recipe. My other great, my other big passion, I'd have to say the, let me just call the Holy Trinity of summer vegetables. The Holy Trinity, meaning three vegetables that make the summer, but they're not in any order of preference or popularity. I'm going to put cucumbers on that list. We're going to put tomatoes on that list. And we're going to put corn on that list. And I'm going to talk. Oh, we have a call. I hope you agree with my Holy Trinity. You're on the air. What do you got for me?
Hey, how's it going, Alan? I had a question about making a consommé. You're talking about straining cucumbers for a cucumber soup.
Correct.
And I've done a technique before where I make a weak agar gel, and then I freeze whatever I'm trying to clarify with that, with like a 1%, 2% solution of agar. And then the agar acts like a net that like filter all the fiber out.
Oh, so when the agar returns to its gelatinous state, it traps the impurities of what you're trying to clarify.
Yeah, it's just a really weak gel. It won't really hold up to if it was room temperature, it wouldn't really hold its form. But when it's in a block of ice, it'll just hold everything together just enough as it's melting.
Well, that sounds delicious. I must say, though, I would rather have flavor than clarity.
Right on.
Yeah. Thanks for your call. Hey, you're on the air. What do you got for me?
Well, hello. I'm glad to hear your voice. I just want to first determine the topic of the show is
vegetables.
Everything that falls into that category.
Yeah, why not?
Well, I don't know. Why not? With a special focus on summer vegetables or appropriate vegetable dishes for July 4th, or that's just the
case? Well, it is summer. So we're talk about what you know. I mean, I probably could do a series on root vegetables. To me, they're wintry, and I like to save them for the winter. But let's stay in the summer vein.
Okay. Well, so I grew up in North Carolina, and my family had a quarter acre plot on the in the backyard, and we ate from the garden all summer, every summer. And I remember it well, and just that lovely feeling. One of your friends said it's not like going to the supermarket from you, but to me it was. Everything was just right there in the backyard. She would say, go grab a handful of arugula, tomatoes, wow, okra, asparagus, you name it, and it was all just there.
Okra's a tough mother, isn't it?
Okra, well, that's why they deep fry it. So they bread it and deep fry it, right? What's the trick? It's not behaving? Bread it and deep fry it.
I like it. You know, I like a little, pinky length okra, really fresh, just like put into a little vinaigrette and then thrown on the grill.
You're big on the vinaigrette. See, now I'm a vegetarian, so I only eat plants, and that's why I was interested by the heading of your show. But I feel like the subheading is summer vegetables, so I don't want to take us too far off track.
Well, no, I mean, I'm not a vegan. I've played one on television. But, there's nothing wrong with being a vegan. I have no problem with that.
I'm vegetarian. I'm only a vegan.
Right.
I try, but I'm, end up eating the odd egg or cheese thing.
It's not a race.
But look, I only wanted to offer my weekly go-to vegetarian sheet pan thing that feeds me for 3 days in a row, which I do recurrently every week.
Let's have at it.
It's extremely simple. You rinse the broccoli, you dry the broccoli, you put the broccoli on the sheet pan. You press the tofu, you dry the tofu, you roll the tofu in cornstarch and nutritional yeast, a little salt and pepper, you put that on the sheet pan. You just slice a Vidalia onion, quarter it, or you can cut it in sixes, however you want to do it, and just intermix that amongst the broccoli. Then you take an entire head of garlic. Just take the top off, just like you're going to do roasted garlic the Italian way. Put a little olive oil, salt, pepper on top of the open garlic head. Cover it in foil. Whole thing goes in 425, 15 minutes on one side, 15 minutes on the other. That are it. And it is very delicious. You may then season it to your liking. I usually use a little vinegar, namashoyu, and chili paste, but the sky's the limit. But you have there the basis for an extremely nutritious, incredibly easy, delicious vegetarian meal.
I'm very impressed. I have no experience
with
experience with nutritional yeast, but
brewer's yeast. It came to me a long time ago. It's some hippie stuff. It's like, if you have Dr. Bronner's in the house, you probably have nutritional yeast in the house.
Wow, I don't have either, but doesn't mean I can't get them. Thank you, man. I really appreciate
that. Love the show. Keep it up.
Hey, thanks, brother. Yeah, the vegetable world. There are vegans, people that don't they only eat vegetables and they don't want anything from an animal touching their vegetables. And I respect that. I respect that a lot. And there's a lot of great recipes. A lot of great vegan recipes out there as well. I usually, my go-to for vegan vegetables, if I'm feeling that way or if I'm compelled to make it for someone, will usually lean towards the Asian variety because ginger and garlic and really good soy sauce, man, you can do a lot with that. Hey, you're on the air. What do you got for me?
Oh, hey, Alan. This is Eric from La Bouille Base. How are you, man?
Hey, brother. What's up? Thanks for calling again.
Yeah. So I concur with the nutritional yeast on tofu. It's amazing. We used to put it on popcorn as kids as well.
Wow. Where did you grow up? In the Moosewood Cafe?
No, I grew up in upstate New York in Gloversville.
Oh, wow.
But we were talking cucumbers, and I just made the most amazing cucumber salad. Here's the recipe, really simple.
Excellent.
Slice up a cucumber, 1 tablespoon smooth peanut butter, 1 tablespoon soy, 1 teaspoon sesame oil. Mix it together. Amazing.
Wow.
My son just came outside and said, Dad, what'd you put in those cucumbers?
That sounds delicious.
Yeah. And, so, yeah, that's a great one if you've never tried it.
Wow. I like that. That sounds really good. I imagine you could use that as like a sauce for any vegetable salad.
You know, I think you could. And you know what I might do, though, in the next time? I might sweat the cucumbers a little bit first.
Yeah.
Before I make it. But it's really, I put a splash of rice wine vinegar in as well, some salt and pepper too.
Yeah, I think if I was going to do that, and like if I was having a cucumber salad cook off with you in that vein, I would take sesame seeds or peanuts, and I put them in the spice grinder and make like a little dust, and I would coat my cucumbers in that dust, just so they have some traction for that wonderful sauce to stick to, right?
You know what? You're absolutely right. That's a great idea. I'm going to try that next time. But yeah, it's really, really simple and really good. And
you,
I love
you, you know what? You know what else would be really banging to put on your cucumbers? They have this. I think you can make it, but they have this stuff at the. If you can go to one, as a Vietnamese grocery store.
Okay.
Toasted rice powder.
Oh.
Like rice that you cook in a dry pan until it's brown and nutty, and then you grind that into a flour.
Oh, wow.
Unbelievable.
All right, now we're on to something here.
I want to hear about that next time.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Hey, thanks again. Have a great show. It's always a pleasure listening. It's really a lot of fun.
Thank you. You're my new favorite caller because you've called more than once.
All right, Alan. Take care, man.
Peace out. Wow, that cucumber. You know, I when I talk about things like that, I would have to say, if I was going to do that salad, I would do the cucumbers, definitely diced. Right, large dice, because you want four sides for all that stuff to stick to. And I would probably mix it with mango, cherry tomatoes, red onion, Thai basil, mint, and cilantro. So like, you know, the Thai basil, the mint, and the cilantro, that's the holy trinity of a summer roll, you know? That's like what goes into a summer roll. It's also what goes into a good banh mi as well. And banh mi being the Vietnamese / French sandwich that is a toasted baguette with big, long spears of cucumber on it, and then like saucisson or some other luncheon meat, and usually shredded daikon and red onion and carrot that's a little vinaigrette, and loads of fresh mint, cilantro, and Thai basil. If you don't have Thai basil, use regular basil. But I strongly, strongly suggest everyone that has a plot of earth that they can tend to and plant something in to plant mint. Please just plant mint, because if you ever go to the store and buy mint, you know, that little package, that clamshell package with the plastic on it, the mint looks so sad. But man, when you can go outside and pick a big handful of mint off of a mint bush, and if you plant mint anywhere where it can take off, it's going to take off, man. And it really goes. And I've been taking mint, you know, I had a planter in my house. It was a 55-gallon oil drum cut in half, and it was filled with mint. And I swear to God, the mint was bright green until like the middle of December. And then a frost would come, and then, you know, it would all die. But every year, you know, like the swallows to Capistrano, the mint comes back. You can't kill it. Delicious, delicious mint. Love it. I could use, veer into something that's not just vegetable, but linguine and clam sauce. Half parsley, half mint. Change your life. I only did it because I didn't have enough parsley to make a batch for dinner once, and I was like, well, I need more greens in this. So I went and got the mint. As soon as I threw that big handful of mint in there with the garlic and the lemon zest and the clams and the linguine, man, it was so good. So good. Maybe I'll make that for dinner tonight. I don't know. I don't know what's going to be for dinner tonight. But we're off cucumbers, unless someone has something else that was as revelatory as Eric's. We're going to talk about corn for a little bit. And corn, you know, there's so many different ways to cook corn. You know, I like to do elote. You know, that Mexican corn with the mayonnaise that you thin out with lime juice and season with chili powder. If you make your own chili powder, it's really good. And then that that grated hard Mexican cheese, they call it cotija, that goes on, and that gets served with a big slice of lime wedge on it. Those are really good. That's a good way to do, I like to do the elote the day after I've had corn my favorite way, which is just boiled corn with olive oil, extra virgin olive oil, and good sea salt and black pepper on it. And you kind of rotate the corn in that slurry. Could add a little lemon to it if you so desire. That's my favorite way of eating corn. But then you're faced with, you always buy too much corn. If you're upstate and the corn's really cheap, you're like, why not? Why not get a lot of corn? And then you boil it all up, and then inevitably there's a fair amount of it left. So you're looking at boiled corn. What are you going to do with it? Now, there's a lot of different things to do with it. You could make the elote, or you could make a salad with the fresh corn. And that's what I'm going to talk about the next time I'm forced to talk, which is not now because we have a caller. Caller, you're on the air. Talk to me.
Hello. There's a lot of great ideas from both you and your guests, so I'm really enjoying this. But I don't have a good cooking idea, but I think I do know the etymology of bread and butter pickles.
Oh, really? Well, that's valuable.
So the way I heard it was, you know, the woman made these sweet pickle chips that were really wonderful, and all her friends loved them, and they said, you know, we would be willing to buy these. So she went to her grocery store and gave them jars of her pickles in exchange for grocery staples like bread and butter. So
so she took her bumper crop of cucumbers, turned it into a pickle, and then traded it for food that her kids really wanted to eat.
Well, hopefully she kept some of the pickles. I mean, kids should love those pickles. They're very sweet. So
yeah, they are really sweet.
So as you said, no bread in the pickles, no butter in the pickles, but that's the explanation I heard.
You made that up.
I did not.
Where did you hear that?
Someone told it to me. Because I was curious about them, too, because I love them.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I could put...
If you hear a better story, that's what I'm going to believe.
I could put bread and butter pickles on a baguette with ice-cold, really good butter on it and enjoy that as a sandwich.
Absolutely.
Definitely. Absolutely. Especially if you let a little of vinaigrette soak in.
Yeah, Not a doubt, because they're not as pickly as other pickles.
Exactly. Thank you. Thank you so much for that. The mystery is solved. I'm going to go with your version of bread, the etymology of the bread and butter pickle. It was born out of necessity. Thank you. So here we are, the day after the party. Everything's been eaten, but there's 12 ears of corn left. And what are you going to do? Most people don't have chickens. I don't. I take the corn and I cut it off the cob. I put it in a bowl. And to that bowl, I'm going to add a fair amount, I'm not going to say a lot, of diced red onion. And I like to treat my red onion prior to going into a salad, a raw vegetable salad. I like to treat the onion like I do the cucumbers. I put the diced onion in a colander. I salt the onion. I macerate the onion with the salt in the colander, and then I rinse that off. So the onion has most of its water and has lost its raw flavor, or as some people say, roar flavor. I like the flavor of raw onion in tuna fish, but not in my corn salad. So we got corn, we got red onion, we got those little grape tomatoes, the ones that are smaller than a cherry tomato. Like to cut those in half. Then I like to add a big, giant handful of fresh basil, tops and all. Maybe a little bit of celery, not too much celery. So to that vegetable salad, and we're going to say after it's all done, let's say we have 3 cups, right? If you were to measure all of those ingredients I just talked about, we have a 3-cup yield. To that, I want to take a cup and a half of jasmine basmati rice. I want to cook that in my rice cooker. I want to overcook it. I want to chill it after it's been cooked. And then I want to add that to all that corn. So now we have we got 50% vegetables and 50% rice. And if it's a good jasmine basmati, it's wonderful. I mean, you could use any rice that doesn't have a lot of gluten in it. If you want to use glutinous rice prior to boiling it, or if you want to use, even better, a variety of different rices, why not? More than one kind of rice. Just put it in a pot or a bowl and let warm water sit on it and like mash it around and keep changing the water until it's not milky anymore, and then boil it, and then your grains won't stick together. And if you want to use Uncle Ben's rice for this or a converted rice, who's going to stop you? No one's going to stop you. The only rice I don't think I would use would be brown rice, but there might be someone out there that is a strong proponent of brown rice. Today's not the rice show. Today's the vegetable show. I'm talking about corn, talking about the holy trinity of corn, tomatoes, and cucumbers. And if there's a holy trinity adjacent vegetable that should be included, that would be zucchini. My favorite is, I love zucchini season. And I love squash blossoms in general. Could talk about squash blossoms another time. My zucchini. And zucchini is probably something we could do a whole nother show on, because when the zucchini comes, you got to run because there's a lot of it. And my zucchini I like to do is very, very thinly sliced on a mandolin. And then I like to put that in a bowl with, again, I'm going to have to say, a little bit of salt. And I put the salt on the zucchini, and through the action of osmosis, most of the water comes out of the zucchini. I rinse that. I pat that dry. I mix up 1 egg, really frothy, and I put the zucchini into that egg mixture, and then I take my cast iron skillet, of which I have a thin film of olive oil in it, and I pick out the zucchini out of the bowl, and I kind of drag the zucchini on the side of the bowl just so it's lightly covered with egg, and then I pan fry that on both sides until it's really crispy. And that's my zucchini chips recipe. And those are best served with a little grated fresh Romano cheese, or just plain salt and pepper if you want. Same thing works really well with the zucchini flowers. But that zucchini is, the zucchini is coming, everyone. Zucchini is coming. I have to be aware of that. Got to be prepared for the zucchini. I don't even want to go into zucchini soup. That sounds all sorts of wrong. I like to fry my zucchini. Also like to grill it. Grilled zucchini is delicious. Basically marinated, thrown on the grill. That would even be excellent to add to the aforementioned corn salad. See, I'm getting ahead of myself. I'm also getting hungry. You've been listening to Is It Soup Yet? My name is Alan Harding. Thank you for listening. Thank you for coming. Thank you for calling. As usual, take care. Brush your hair. Stand tall.
Pancho Morales, ladies and gentlemen, to come get over. Now I need a half pint of more. Thank you.
Return to the purity of your essence. You are love. Return to divine source. Return to your purity.
Return to your purity.